All right, good morning. Am I on? All right, perfect. Well, good morning, church. My name is Jacob Rissman. I help lead our campus ministry, and I have the opportunity to preach the word this morning. So being in campus ministry, especially one that's young, it just got started about a year and a half ago, it means that I get to spend a lot of my time sharing my faith on campus, walking around, preaching the word, inviting people into a relationship with God. You could say I have a lot of opportunities to be a light. But one of the struggles with having a young campus ministry is that a lot of times it can feel like it's just me. Especially, you know, we started going to WashU last semester, and it's been awesome. We have people studying the Bible there. We have a Bible talk. But it's just kind of me sharing my faith. At least for the guys. And so it can feel lonely. It can feel tiresome. It can feel challenging. I know that I'm called to be a light. I know that I'm called to be like Christ. But I can just feel so small. Especially on a big campus. And this past week, we had the opportunity to host a campus swap. And if you don't know what that is, there was about 13 college students from KU that came up. And they were just on campus sharing their faith all day. And it was just such a breath of fresh air. Just knowing, like, wow, it's not just me today. Man, they're able to go and they're going to reach people that I haven't met yet. They're going to invite people to a Bible discussion that I probably wouldn't reach on my own. Because, you know, we can have a small impact by ourselves. But when disciples of Christ come together, we are able to shine like stars, reaching a greater number of people than any of us ever could alone. So the title of my lesson this morning is Shining Like Stars. You go ahead and turn over to Philippians chapter 2, pick up in verse 12. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. Dear Holy Father, just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the opportunity to be here worshiping this morning. Lord, I pray that as we just reflect on this passage that we're about to read and what it means to shine like stars in the sky, Lord, that we can just be inspired to go out and to be the light to the world that we've been focusing on. Lord, I pray that you speak through me, that you take me out of the equation, and that your word can just be preached this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Philippians 2, picking up in verse 12. Let's use my actual Bible. That's why I brought it up here. Pick up in verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. You know, we know that we are called to be a light to the world. And the question that I've been wrestling with this past week is, why does Paul specifically say that we're called to be stars? Because you would think the obvious source of light is the sun, right? When the sun is out, everything is illuminated. You know, maybe if you're like me, that might get to your head a little bit if you thought of yourself as the sun, because the world doesn't revolve around us. All right, but what about the moon? You know, the moon is literally just a reflection of the sun's light. That seems like a pretty good analogy for disciples, but Paul doesn't say we're the moon. He calls us the stars in the sky. So why the stars? Because stars are meant to shine in the darkness. And we happen to live in a dark and a fallen world. Additionally, stars throughout history, they've been used to give a sense of direction, to guide people's paths. They've been used to mark out specific times so that farmers know when to plant their crops. But they're also a sign of hope. It was a star that appeared that led the wise men to the foot of the infant Jesus. And that is the task that we are given, to guide people to the foot, to the feet of Christ. And people have always been drawn to the stars. There's something that's just beautiful and mysterious about them. But unlike the sun or the moon, there isn't just one. There's multitudes, billions spread across the galaxy. So if we are to come together and shine like stars, it takes each of us. All of us have a role. You know, the call isn't just an individual call. It's to a church. It's to the fellowship of believers around the world. Because the world is a big place. And it requires each of us to shine right where God has put us. But what does that take? What does it take to be the light of the world, to shine like stars? And this morning, I want to talk about three things that are going to be required of us if we want to shine like stars in this corrupt generation. And the first thing is that we have to fear God. You know, Paul starts out by saying, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." If we want to be a light to the world, we have to fear God. And it's funny that this is the passage that was selected for this week, because all semester, our campus ministry has been focusing on this idea. What does it mean to fear God? What does it look like to fear Him? Why is this so important if we are to live for Him? Because there's a lot of things that we can fear in our life. Failure, death, public speaking, the ocean. You know, some of us is something small like spiders. And the thing about fear is that it causes us to change something about our lives. There's a reaction because of the fear that we have. And personally, my biggest fear is that I will never be seen as good enough. I feel like I have to prove myself to everybody, everywhere I go. You know, not just to excel in the things that I do, but to be perfect. And that's impossible. And so I stress myself out. I drive myself crazy. I get anxious. I overthink things. And a perfect example of this is, so I started taking some online courses for ministry. And the first assignment we had this semester, it was a 2-point discussion post. I'm assuming 1 point for your post and then 1 point for responding to two other people's. And I did the readings, I read the question, I was like, I know how to answer this. But what I didn't know was how long the response needed to be. I didn't know what was expected, what was the content. I knew it wasn't just a one-word answer. But I spent like 3 hours trying to figure out how to word this 200 to 300-word post. And I wasn't fearful of missing a point. Like, it's a big, you know, it's a class, there'll be plenty of points. But I was fearful of what people would think of me. I was fearful of, well, if it's too short, will the professor think I didn't actually do the reading? Will my classmates think, oh, he's not good enough? Because I'm pretty sure I'm the youngest guy in the class. A lot of them are actual ministers, so I can feel like, oh, I have to prove myself to this group. But I was fearful. And it may seem like a silly example, but we all have things that we're scared of, and they impact the way we live. We're so quick to fear the things of this world. And yet, why do we struggle to fear God? You know, Matthew 10, verse 28 says, Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Guys, we need to fear God. You know, and fearing God, it doesn't just mean, you know, shaking in your boots, terrified of him because he can strike you down at any moment. He can. That's not who he is. But to fear him, to really fear him, it's associated with this awe and this reverence of him. It's realizing who we are in relation to him. And that should cause a change in our lives. That should cause us to change and to live in obedience to his word. You know, that's why Paul makes this connection. He says, church, I know that you've been obedient, not just when I was here, but when I was gone as well. But to continue to do the work, keep living the life. Work out your salvation. Not work for, but work it out. Because you've been forgiven of your sins, because you've received salvation, live a life in response to that. Live a life in response to the work that Jesus did on the cross when he bore your sins. And when we fear God, we will live a life of obedience to him. It's the natural response because of the beautiful gift that he has given us. And we will see him work powerfully in us and through us. But if we don't fear him, the time will come when we will fail to obey. Life will get hard. Challenges will arise. We'll feel inconvenienced. And if we don't fear God in those moments, we're going to take the easy way out. We're going to do the thing that's comfortable for us. But our obedience, it will demonstrate whether we really fear him, whether we will really come humbly before him in awe and reverence. And it makes me think of the story of Abraham, when God calls him to sacrifice his son Isaac, because that is probably the most challenging thing that God could have asked of him to do. This was the promised son. He'd been waiting for years. But that's what God calls him to sacrifice. But Abraham is obedient. Genesis 22, picking up verse 9, says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. To fear God is to obey his commands. You know, God tells Abraham, he's like, I see that you fear me. I see that you trust me because you're willing to go as far as I could have possibly asked you to sacrifice your son. Abraham feared God. He trusted that he had a plan. And there's something about the life of a man or a woman that fears God that is just different than the rest of the world. Their life, it's set apart. And like the stars, people notice that. But if you don't fear God, if you aren't obedient to his word, then you won't be able to shine like the stars. Because you're going to be living as a part of the darkness. So church, I want to ask you, do you fear God? Do you live in obedience to his word? And if you haven't studied this out, what it looks like to fear God, please do it. You know, as I said, this semester we've been studying it out, and this is really the first time I've looked heavily into this, but it has changed the way I view my relationship with God. It has changed the way I view my walk with him. But if we want to be a church that shines, we have to have a fear and an awe of the Father. But our walk is not just built on obedience. It's not just built on fear. It's built on a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's exactly the next part that Paul goes into. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. My second point this morning is that we need to become children of God. We need to become children of the light. John 1:5 says, God is light. In him there is no darkness. In 1 Peter 2, it says that we were called out of darkness into his wonderful light. So if we're going to be children of God, our lives have to look different. We have to reflect his light to the world. And when people see that, they should be led to Christ. Because there's a lot of different things in this world that will pull people in, that will promise them happiness. But those things ultimately won't lead to that. And Paul says that we don't just have to become children, but we have to become blameless, pure, and faultless. Because that's how we're going to win the world over for Christ. By showing them a genuine love and relationship that is just set apart from all the other things the world has to offer. But if our lives are filled with grumbling and arguing, then how are we supposed to win people over? Imagine you're trying to invite your coworker out to church or to a Bible study. But every day you come into the office, you're like, man, I'm just so tired. I had to wake up early and read my Bible this morning. Like, I don't know how I'm going to focus. But that's the encounter that they have with the church. Or you get there Thursday morning, you're like, man, we had a midweek service last night. You know, Sunday morning I can get behind, but now we're having midweek services? Another obligation? If that's how people see your walk with God, they're not going to want to be a part of that. That's not appealing to the world. That's not shining your light. You know, God calls us to long for him. Right? It's not just the obedience. It's a relationship. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, we don't just go to midweek. We don't just go to church. We don't just read our Bible because we know we should. It's because we want to connect with a Father. The Father who gave us everything, who loves us. But sometimes it is going to be hard. Sometimes we will feel like it's an inconvenience. But if it's about love, if it's about God and just connecting with him, then it's not a burden. You know, it's like what it says in Hebrews 12. I'm talking about Jesus says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him. Guys, there's nothing that we will ever have to do, that we will ever face that will be harder than what Jesus went through for us. But yet he endured it joyfully because he wasn't focused on himself. He was focused on the Father. He was focused on us, on the relationship that he's opening up by taking away our sins. You know, to be a light, we have to fear God. We have to be obedient to his word. But we have to remember that his word is not burdensome. You know, so even in the times when things feel challenging, when you feel tired, there is joy to be found. And that's something that shines in this world. That when you can be tired, when you can go through hardships with joy, the world longs for that. The world, it's filled with darkness. They're looking for something to be their light. Will you shine? You know, it's do everything without grumbling or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure children of God. Only then will we shine like stars. You know, and maybe you really are tired. Maybe you did have to wake up really early to have that quiet time. Maybe you did have to move your schedule around to make it to midweek. but you're spending time with God. You're spending time with His kingdom. You're praising Him. You know, midweeks are a time of encouragement. It's not just something we do. You know, imagine if you got to work in the morning and your coworker's like, man, you look tired today. How are you doing? And you're like, you know, I'm a little tired, but I had a great time with God this morning. And you just shared what you learned with them. You shared what encouraged you and what inspired you. That's what it looks like to be a light. People will see that. Because we live in a dark world. So we need to be blameless. We need to be pure. We need to be faultless. Because the world will look for every opportunity to critique Christ and to critique His followers. And we see it. Our attitude, it reflects our ability to be a light. So how brightly will you shine? And I'm not just talking about here at church. But when you leave these doors, when you're at work, when you're at your kids' sporting events, when you're surrounded by people that are seeking for something, will you shine? You know, and I'm not saying to go and fake this joy or to put on a mask, because they'll see right through that. But what I am saying is that we need to shine like stars. We need to look inward and then reevaluate our hearts and remember why we're doing what we do. Why do you wake up and read your Bible every day? Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? Why do you show up for midweeks on Wednesday night? You know, to be a child of God, it means that you've been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. That is something to rejoice about. We should rejoice because we get to serve a God who loves us, who cares for us, who sent His Son to pay the price of our sins, to die on the cross. We rejoice because we have a hope for the future. We rejoice because we know that someday Christ will return and everything we've done will be well worth it. And that's how Paul concludes this section in Philippians. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. The last thing we have to do is if we want to shine like stars, is that we need to focus our hearts on the return of Christ. Because it takes intentionality to be a light. It's going to require energy. It's going to require time. You're going to feel inconvenienced. You're going to feel uncomfortable. But I assure you, brothers and sisters, that your labor is not in vain. That at the end of it, at the end of the day, even if you have been poured out like the drink offering, that there is not a drop left, it will be worth it. And that if you've done that for Christ, that is something to rejoice in. That is something to celebrate. Because life, it will be hard. There will be times where you just feel like you have nothing left. And honestly, that was pretty much me all week. I was talking with Alex about this on Friday, and this was the hardest sermon that I've ever had to put together. Not because the topic's hard, not because I'm not passionate about it, but because I was just tired. I was drained physically and mentally. You know, last weekend, Sammy and I, we were at a wedding. And she was the matron of honor. I was the lead usher, so we had to get up there Friday night, the rehearsal dinner. You know, wedding comes Saturday. And there's just a lot that needed to be done behind the scenes. And, you know, we got married 2.5 years ago. I was like, all right, I can step up. I can fill in some of these gaps. I can do what I can to serve. And I became the unofficial wedding coordinator. Don't know how or why it was me, but her family was coming to me asking me questions. The venue, they were coming to me and asking me questions. I didn't tell them to do that. I don't know how they all just decided it was me. And I'm grateful I got to do that, right? I'm grateful I got to serve and to get to just celebrate this special moment with them. But I was tired by the end. And it was in Iowa City. And I was helping with worship the next morning. So we had to drive back. And we stayed a little bit later than we wanted to. We didn't get back until 1:30 in the morning. I had to be at worship practice at 8:20 in St. Charles the next day. But it didn't end there. Then we had a training time with our college students. And then right after our training time, the campus swap students came in Sunday night. So there was no break. I was preparing extra lessons. I was preparing morning devos. And I was giving to these students. I was tired. I would sit and try and work on my lesson. It was just blank. Nothing going on. But I look back, and I would gladly do it again. Because you know what? God was glorified. The gospel was preached on campus. And as a result of that, I got 43 numbers from students at WashU and UMSL from the students at KU. And I know the women got some. I know some of our students got some other numbers. It was worth it. But I was tired. I wanted to take a nap. But the thing that got me through it was just remembering that my life is not about me. You know, that at the end of the day, when I stand before Jesus, I don't want to have anything left to give. I want to look back and say, man, I laid it all out on the field. God, I'm tired, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I have nothing left. I have no regrets. But it all starts with living our lives for God. Every day, making the decision to live a life of obedience and present yourself as the blameless child of God, remembering that, man, at the end, it's all going to be worth it. It might be hard. It might be tiring. It might be uncomfortable. But you'll get to spend an eternity with God. So what decision will you make when you leave here this morning? What about tomorrow? And the day after that? And the day after that? Will you choose to shine your light? Because if we're going to make an impact on this world, it's going to take each of us shining like the stars, leading people to the foot of the cross. Guys, the sky is filled with stars. They have served as guides to the world for centuries. Will we be a church that is filled with stars, lighting the path to Jesus? Because you see, the thing about stars is that God designed them to produce light during the night. But our hope is found in the knowledge that the time will come when we no longer live in a world filled with darkness. That someday Jesus will return. And that will be a glorious and wonderful day filled with light. And I'm not sure if you caught this, but the very first word in the passage that we read, it starts with therefore. And there's a reason why Paul is calling the church to this perseverance, to shine like stars. Philippians 2, picking up in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. He gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, we shine because we know what Christ has done for us. And we know that in the end, it will all be worth it. You know, and just as every night we go to bed with confidence that the sun will come up in the morning. Church, we shine because we know that the Son of God will return. And when that morning comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen.